$5 Bin Podcast with Mark and Rick.
And now with a splash of Brian.
Hello, Cinemaniacs, and welcome to the $5 Bin Podcast, the podcast where we revisit and review movies from our youth. I'm your host, Mark Dittleman, and with me are my co-host, Rick Maxian.
Good evening.
And Brian Higgins.
Hello, I'm eating peanut M&Ms.
He's eating peanut M&Ms.
Oh,
I hope none of your ears are allergic to peanuts.
Ears?
Cinemaniacs. Well, you know.
I'll never tell.
If they're peanut allergies to their ears.
Oh, I thought this was going to be one of your, like, segues.
No, not yet.
Thing.
I'll come up with a bad segue eventually.
Well, I was going to say, are there 101 M&Ms?
Well, yes, Rick. In fact, this is our 101st episode.
I know. That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, so clearly we had to review a movie this week that is completely on the nose.
Not any kind of Pinocchio.
A Disney movie. That's true.
Is it? I don't know what the movie is.
Well,
he hasn't watched it yet.
That's true. Well, no, it's like you just watched it.
Shh. I missed half of it.
I'll reveal. We watched 101 Dalmatians for our 101st episode.
That was my idea.
And it was your idea, but the other thing that is kind of a momentous, or the first time for us, is that it's a movie that I was under the impression that none of us had seen.
Well, and
now we're saying the live adaptation
the
one.
The live with
yeah, the 96
Glenn,
one.
Not
with
the original one.
With Glenn Close.
But I had never seen the live adaptation one, but then...
And I don't think I have either,
well,
but
you said
I...
you saw some scenes from it, though.
But I think I remembered some of the commercials.
Oh, okay. Maybe you remember
between,
the trailer.
Between the trailer and the McDonald's commercials.
Yeah, maybe that's
you,
it.
You picked up most of the plot
yeah,
from that.
Like,
yeah,
and most of the Cruella de Vil lines.
Right. I was saying to Mark earlier before we started recording, I was saying there was one part where she says, it's like I'll be wearing your dog, woof woof, and I'm like, I distinctly remembered that thing, and I was like, oh
and
crap, did I see this movie?
Snoop Doggy Dog album.
Yeah,
Snoop Doggy Dog.
But, and I'm pretty sure when it came out, this is a vague recollection, I think they had 101 different toys.
They probably did.
In the Happy
Wow,
Meal.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Wow.
Holy crap.
Holy moly.
China was working hard.
Now, Rick, you said you picked this movie for us to watch this week. I also thought it was interesting that this was a very early live adaptation of a Disney movie, and that is the thing to do nowadays. You know,
well,
like
actually, was
Beauty
it
and the Beast that just came out?
Was it the
Jungle
first?
Book? That's what I'm thinking. Well, is this one of the first live adaptations of
from
their own movie?
There was, from an animated classic?
There was a 1994 Jungle Book that starred Jason Scott Lee.
I thought that was like a continuation, though. Wasn't
well, it was
that
kind of
like a sequel-ish.
Like a
sequel, right?
Yeah,
right.
But still, all right, I'll give it to him.
Of, you know, the quote-unquote live action.
Yeah,
right.
Okay.
But
Jason Scott
Lee. It's on the fence.
As Mowgli.
But this one was the first, like,
Bruce
you know,
Lee.
We just had Beauty and the Beast come out. So
yes.
This one was the first, like, we are remaking the movie.
Yeah.
Almost beat for beat with live actors.
Well, and that's one of the things, Brian, because I know you had rewatched the original animated one. Because I watched that so long ago that I couldn't tell you if it's beat for beat or similar, or how much they changed, because I don't remember. I watched it several times, the animated classic. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, but we'll get into that as we go along.
Yes.
So, yeah, so this was from 1996, and this was directed by Stephen Herrick. Now, Stephen Herrick had quite the interesting filmography. If you look at some of his past, going back, he did Critters. That horror movie that's, you know, very Gremlin-esque. He did Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. He did Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. He did Mighty Ducks, the first one. He did The Three Musketeers, the Disney one, with, like, Kiefer Sutherland and Charlie Sheen and Chris O'Donnell.
With the song that was...
With the Sting and Brian Adams and Rod Stewart.
Yeah.
When it's all for one, it's
oh,
all
yeah.
for love. When there's nothing you will know, you will let your freedom show. It went just like that.
I don't remember any of it, but I remember the song being okay. I just thought...
The last one, because he started to do a lot of, like, movie sequels, but his last big one is he did Mr. Holland's Opus.
Yeah.
Which is like, oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, he's a sneaky, like, director of my childhood.
And here's the other ones that I listed after that. He did the Eddie Murphy classic Holy Man.
Oh.
He did Rockstar with Mark Wahlberg.
Oh.
And then he had Man of the House. Not the JTT one.
Oh.
The Tommy Lee Jones one.
Oh God.
Where he was like Texas Ranger guarding the cheerleaders.
Guarding the cheerleaders. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So he had quite, and then he started to do like the Cutting Edge 3 and stuff like that. And then lots of TV episodes. So yeah. So let's get into that a little bit more because, okay. So straight off the bat, like we said before, our first times with this. So I had never seen the live adaptation. I don't think I'd seen any of the parts. I had seen the commercials of Glenn Close.
Yeah, I remember
Cruella de Vil.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same here.
And Rick, and so you did you confirm you didn't actually see any scenes, or was it just more
no?
From
so
the
like the middle of the movie, I did not remember 1 ounce of it. Like
yep.
There was, you know, a part
not
here and there that
gram,
I was like, oh, maybe
or a teaspoon.
No,
wait, it's the metric system.
Oh yes, that's right. Yeah. And that they then hire Jeff Daniels, but.
This is like Rick's biggest question as we get into the movie.
No, it is. Like, literally.
Well, let's jump right in.
All right.
Because, okay, so this movie, we brought up Glenn Close.
Yes.
Brings up Jeff Daniels is the male human lead as Roger.
Like,
now, he's an American in England, and this baffled Rick to no end.
No, it did baffle me why they. Well, all right. So his. I don't know what he did in 95, but 94 was.
Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb
right?
and Dumber.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't. I mean, what
Jeff
do you do?
Daniels is always
he's a great actor. I mean, I think he
because he's always done stuff, especially around the time where he's done like a comedy, an edgy comedy. But he's always done like a Family Affair. He did that one where him and Anna Paquin as a child had to fly the ducks home,
fly away home.
Yeah, so he always bounced back to family stuff.
No, and I think he's a phenomenal actor. I do like him. It was just kind of a weird, like when I first saw him, I was like, wait a second. Like,
what's he doing in here?
Well,
what,
yeah, I mean,
what brought Disney exec said,
get me Jeff Daniels.
Get me. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
leading into this, like 93, he did Gettysburg. 94,
oh, right.
Speed. Also 94, Dumb and Dumber.
Yes.
So really like R-rated things.
Yeah. And that, but then like 96, Fly Away Home.
There
101
you go.
Dalmatians.
Yeah.
Also 2 Days in the Valley.
Oh, yeah.
So.
That was. Yeah.
What was that one?
That was like
remember.
A Pulp Fiction-esque, like.
Oh, really?
Hitman, and that was the first movie I ever saw Charlize Theron, and you saw all of Charlize Theron.
Oh.
Terry Hatcher was in it too.
Oh yes, they're real and they're spectacular.
But then shortly after this, you know, he had Pleasantville.
Yeah. Oh
Trial
yeah.
Trial and Error.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
My favorite Martian.
I never saw that. That was a Disney one though. Remake. Yeah. So the movie takes place in London, and Roger is there. He's one of the characters, and he's sets off that. This is a very Disney tone, like going back to like when we did like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids or anything like that. Because Pongo, his dog, is very self-sufficient. Like he turns on the shower, he goes and gets the paper, he almost like starts breakfast.
You know what it reminded me of? So that opening scene when the alarm goes off. Reminded me slightly of Back to the Future.
Oh, really?
Like, just the sound of the alarm. Just everything that, you know,
lot,
it's like kind of convenient
lot.
Things. And the dog can do things. The
yeah.
dog can open the door.
He
the
turns
dog,
on the computer.
It's very,
he's like
it's very.
And
the computer.
Computer's like, hello, Pongo.
Yeah, hello,
yeah,
Pongo.
Exactly. So
he must have programmed that.
It was
real good at it, turning me on.
Yeah. It was very Back to the Future-esque. It was like
yep.
Dr. Emmett Brown. Like, set up this house for a dog.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, it was kind of the whole early 90s, mid-90s, like, they combined it all together, like, oh, you can program a computer game? Like, you know computers. You could invent things. Like, computers and invention, they all kind of fell into the same realm as, like, a skill. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, if you can make a computer game, then you can invent something that would be self-sufficient in your
yeah,
house.
Like, a self-opening door with a dog paw
right.
thing. I mean, I was like, what is going on?
And in the background on the TV, which is kind of like a foreshadow for later, there's this news story about a white tiger that was killed at the London Zoo.
Yes.
So
a liger?
No, not a liger.
Oh, all right.
Just a tiger.
Not Napoleon Dynamite.
But again, when you mentioned that this was set in London,
yes.
like, that surprised me off the bat, too. Just because as they're updating it, I would have expected them to go like, oh, let's set it in New York or
yeah.
something. And
yeah, yeah.
we can do the big they meet in Central Park scene. And it would have made sense to me.
I think I would have believed it more that you bring it up that she was in New York than Jeff Daniels was in London.
I mean, six of one, half a dozen the other.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's just the typecast of Jeff Daniels to me. It's just kind of like Why would he be there? Not that I think he actually played the role very well, and I enjoyed it, but...
Right. But he doesn't belong in London.
No, I...
Well, that's...
It was the initial...
setup, like, is she's not married because she hasn't found the right guy, and he's kind of like, well, this guy, he had to come from America to find the right guy, you know?
Yeah.
Because there wasn't the right guy in England, pretty much.
That's true. There you go. That's why. All right. Answered.
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 Yeah, but the other thing, one of the reasons why he's there is he needs to make a sale of his video game that he's making. That's the big thing. And this game is basically a 101 Dalmatians game he's making that looks like the original cartoon, the animated movie.
No.
Which I'm sure was not part of the original movie.
No, in the original, he's a songwriter.
Oh, okay, songwriter.
Which, and that's where you got the Cruella de Vil.
Oh,
Cruella. Like, he sings it in the...
That song was from the first one.
Yeah, and like...
Why is he singing about Cruella de Vil?
Because she's there, and he's like, oh, she's evil, Cruella.
I make up songs about my friend.
Yeah.
Hey there, Rick, drinking a beer. I am drinking a beer. It is delicious.
That didn't rhyme.
I know, but I
but
just...
like I like songwriter seems like a much more respect. Like it's a universal career choice.
Yes.
Like the fact
this
that he was
very,
a video
time,
game maker,
right.
It just made it like, oh, we need to update it for the 90s.
Yeah.
What do people do in the 90s? I know they
video
make
games.
Video games.
Right. So then this year it'd
on
be
the
an
computer.
App.
Right.
If they redid this year it'd be an app.
It'd be an app, yeah. It'd be VR or something like that.
Or AR.
VR, Switch.
We are Switch. VR. Is that
VR Troopers.
VR Troopers. I thought it was funny how this video game company was like predicated on the whims of this little
of
British
one
boy.
Child.
I was like, how much are they paying this kid? Because apparently if he likes it, then the world will like it.
Yeah.
You know? His big thing, he didn't like the villain that was in the game. It was, like, too much. He had, like, this evil dog catcher that he didn't really like. He wasn't really into it. Now, we meet Anita, and Anita works at kind of a... And I every time, just seeing this updated movie and haven't seen it, I kept thinking, like,
Devil
the
Wears
Devil
Prada.
Wears Prada, you know? Because she works at this high-end luxury clothes company, like Vogue.
Was that Anne Hathaway?
Anne Hathaway.
Yes, she was in that.
Yep.
I don't know if I've seen that. What was
it's pretty good.
It was.
It is good. Yeah. It's
all
good.
Right.
But and then Cruella De Vil, who obviously we knew, and this is the biggest thing going into it, is from seeing the original and how much they hyped it up. Is Glenn Close as Cruella De Vil is basically like Miranda Richardson from Devil Wears Prada,
yeah.
Except a little more comical and over the
well,
top and evil.
What I found interesting is Glenn Close is more of a cartoon character than the one in the animated film.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely plays it up.
Like, she might as well be pulling pieces off the set and gnawing on them.
Because how could you not...
She's chewing the scenery.
How could you not speak to her throughout the entire movie and be like, this woman has evil intentions?
Exactly.
Where it's like, it's not as... It's a little more subtle in the original. You're like, okay, she's nefarious, but it's not like, you're creeped out by her the moment you meet her.
Yeah.
So let's meet Cruella De Vil, because she takes
Cruella
a look at some of Anita's drawings, and she gets very intrigued by them.
What a charming dog.
Thank you.
Spot?
Yes, she's Dalmatian.
Inspiration?
Yes.
Long hair or short?
Short.
Coarse or fine?
I'm afraid it is a little coarse.
Pity.
But it was very fine when she was a puppy.
Redemption. We need to have a little girl for you. Come to my office. Bring the drawing.
So this is my question. Is Cruella De Vil supposed to be English?
I assume so.
I assume so, too.
I assume so, too, but I'm not positive.
Here's one of the things. Who would ever act like that, though?
I know.
It
well,
was,
again,
I mean,
if it's like a Devil Wears Prada, it's like she's such a genius, you're just like, okay, I'm just going to tolerate her,
yeah.
I guess.
I don't know.
I don't know.
It was one of those things where I'm like, I don't know.
So she really likes Anita's spot design, and then she's really keen on her dogs, too, so you're like, okay, she wants to kill the dogs and... You know, have their spots because she's really into the puppies because the puppies have more fine hair when, you know, fine fur when they're young. So you're like, but already I'm like, this woman's creepy. It's like,
yeah,
why do you not see it? And another thing that's kind of like a tip off, which you kind of knew already, is that her little manservant guy, Frederick Butler, the butler guy who was getting tea in the office, he was like, I thought stripes were in. You're like, okay, well, she killed the tiger or somehow was involved in that, because she was like, I thought stripes, not spots. You know, we'd have to change the entire line. So, you know, like, she was involved with that, whatever that happened with that white tiger.
She's a poacher. Which I learned about poaching in The Rescuers Down Under.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's very good.
I wonder if that's going to be live action.
So now, here's something. And this
Paul Hogan has that Australian
This is
guy.
Basically stuff that's happened lately. How they use this news thing or whatever saying about the tiger.
About the tiger, yeah.
That said, it's the first time it's been killed for its pelt or whatever in captivity. Didn't that just happen a few weeks ago? Like something
what?
Like a rhino was killed like on a preserve
really?
Or like a lion. Something was killed.
Well, there was that
on-
dentist that shot the lion, but
no,
I
no, no,
he actually went
no,
to
no,
Africa.
There was something at a zoo or something.
Harambe?
No. There was something at a zoo or something in Paris that was shot and killed. I'm going to look it up.
You can look that up. And it's very funny, the conversation between Cruella and Anita about, what's your plans? You plan to work here for a long time? And she's like, well, yeah, you know, unless things happen in the future. And she's like, what things? Like, if I, you know, probably not going to happen, hasn't happened so far, but if I meet a nice man, have a family. And then she just goes off about marriage and kids and stuff like that. And it's such like a... It's such like a knock against it. It was just kind of funny. Like, okay, it's like, well, if you want to be successful, you can't have kids. You can't be married. So it was really like, okay, let's take us back to the 50s. And you were correct.
March 7th, 2017, a rhino was shot dead at a French zoo by poachers for the horn.
Oh, wow.
So... That's so,
horrible.
Like, when they...
So this should have been set in Paris?
Yeah.
Well, whatever. It's close enough. But when I saw them talking about it, and they're like, it's the first time ever, I was like, I don't think it ever happened after that until this
101 year. 101 Dalmatians. Oh.
So, like, I think they said it and predicted the future.
So this brings up a good point I want to touch upon, because we know with, like, the modern Disney films, especially with the Pixar ones in the past few years, is they do start to go down the path at times of scenes of some of, like, the darker stuff, the sadder stuff.
Yeah.
But I was surprised, especially, like, what was the year the original 101 Dalmatians came out, Brian?
1961.
So 1961. Now, I know it was a different time back then, and there was some darker stuff around those, but it's just weird to think about how such of this movie is predicated on a woman that wants to murder puppies.
Yep.
You know, it's just so weird for a Disney
it's not,
movie.
It's not like Maleficent or whatever. It's not like a Sleeping Beauty where
yeah.
It's like it's a fairy tale, whatever. This is like live, like in the real world situation.
It is based on a book, though.
But I'm saying even the original,
still.
Like that seems like dark material for Disney at that period of time. I mean, they did some weird things. I mean, watch Pinocchio. There's some effed up stuff going on in that movie.
Watch Fantasia.
Yeah, exactly. But it just seems so strange for them to go down that
Fantasia.
Path.
Witch Fantasia. Yes.
But you can see the evolution of murdering puppies to like, now we get up and the movie starts off with a miscarriage. It's like, this is some dark stuff that Disney's covering, you know?
Yeah, so like, think about being an adult back then, watching this with your kids. You'd be like, I can't, what is going on?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, if you're an adult back
and
then, you'd probably
G.
be like sipping a martini while you watch
it
with your kids.
Exactly, that's true.
So.
That's true. Mad Men style.
That's true.
You sip a martini, you watch some 101 Dalmatians, and then you sell some ad space.
Maybe that's what happened.
So Pongo sees Purdy, which is Anita's dog, in the park and falls head over heels for her. Or head over paws.
Now, this is something I do want to briefly... So we haven't really mentioned Pongo and Perdita yet.
Yes.
It's weird to me because the entire opening of the original movie is narrated by Pongo.
That's what I thought. I was like, is there... I seem to remember, I was like...
Yeah, it's
seen
a
the movie
weird
so long.
Voice.
I was like, did the dogs talk or you heard their inner thoughts?
They talked, but like it was, you know, inner thoughts for the narration.
Yeah.
But then they talked during the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
And as a result, like this movie seemed much more centered around the humans as viewpoint characters.
Yeah.
Versus with that one, the dogs are the viewpoint characters.
Yep.
And I think it is to the detriment of the live action film that they made that decision.
I don't mind it. Entirely, I kind of like how the dogs were actually, you know, they do some things that are more suspended belief that animals can do, but I kind of like how there was a realism that they didn't talk, because I thought it might have gone down a more too cheesy route.
Yeah.
If they were talking dogs. If we kind of had like a...
If they had done it Homeward Bound style, which they actually watch on the TV at one point.
Okay.
Like,
yeah, they do.
I would have
been
okay
true.
With that.
But even that isn't like a, isn't that just like a narration or?
But it's the different voices for the different characters.
Well, I would take that. I'm thinking of like the
they have like dialogue.
The CGI mouths moving. I thought that would have taken away from it. But if we had their inner monologues, yeah. I'd be okay with that.
But it changes the viewpoint character.
That's
to me.
True. It definitely does. That's
and
true.
I want to be centered around the dogs.
And that's the reason why, as we get into this movie, the entire third ending of the movie, there's like no dialogue whatsoever.
Yeah. So you're talking about the scene where they met.
Yes, in the park. So he takes off after Purdy.
And they make it like an unnecessarily long like chase scene type thing. Whereas in the original, it's a very short little bit where, you know, they end up tying them together with the leashes and, oh yeah, look, now you're...
Well, they wanted to add some comical elements. So instead of the leash tie up, they have Pongo dragging Roger on his bike, and then he eventually goes flying into the pond, and then the old ladies go,
now,
I don't think he meant to do that.
I don't think you mentioned this. Did you make note of who the writer was for this film?
John Hughes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did bring that up, yes.
Did we?
Yeah. Oh, no, we brought that up. No, prior,
Mark was like, what? I was like, yeah, John Hughes.
Yeah, John Hughes.
Yeah, so John, like, so this is firmly in that, like, Home Alone era. This is around the point where it seemed like John Hughes was very much in his, I'm making movies for children where adults look like buffoons.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And later on, the movie just turns into Home Alone.
Yeah, it's true. It does. There's definitely Home Alone. Exactly. Especially when they, as we get to it, they introduce the two henchmen, which we'll get into. So after he goes flying into the pond, Roger comes in his like bent up bike and he's got his leash and he sees, because Pongo goes and sits kind of next to Anita's bike. And Roger thinks that Purdy is his dog. So he walks up and this is kind of the interaction where Roger meets Anita.
Everybody had a good laugh.
Let go of that dog!
Stay out of it, lady.
Nothing. Oh, I'll hit you.
Today's not a good day to threaten me, ma'am.
I don't care if it's a good day or a bad day. I'll hit you nonetheless.
Whatever.
Okay, I'll give you a good proper warning.
Look, I've had...
Now, release my dog or I'll hit you again.
Your dog?
Yes, that is my dog. Will you let her go?
Excuse me. Is it she?
So yeah, he looks under the dog's leg.
Yeah, Jeff Daniels is just checking out dog junk.
Yeah, he's just checking out the dog junk. I did like the line; I thought it was funny. Where he's like, "What'd you have in that bag, lady? Bricks?" And she was like, "Yeah." She's like, "I found bricks around the garden. I picked them up." So he gets smacked in the face with bricks, but he's fine.
He's fine. You know, no concussions.
No concussions. So they part ways, and then they kind of go on their little bike riding sequence where they're just going around a. Like a band playing Daisy Day in the park. And then that's when Purdy and Pongo just, they can't stay away from each other, so they both take off. Now Anita's bike gets dragged, and she goes flying into the pond, so recreating what happened to Roger.
Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha.
They should have brought those two old ladies back again, I thought. They should for like another
I'll time. Have what she's having.
Yes, Rob Reiner's mom. She shows up.
But that line comes after Jeff Daniels checks under.
Yes.
Like, he's like, oh, let's see. Oh, it's a girl. I'll have what she's having. So he wanders over and lifts the old lady's skirt.
Oh, God. I don't think even Disney would go down that route. I don't know.
But John Hughes
might. And that lady's played by Molly Ringwald. So then we're back at Roger's apartment. Now they kind of have this whole back and forth where she goes, thank you for saving me and thank you for that kiss. And he was like, well, it was CPR. Usually when you give CPR, the person's not moving around. And she was like, it's difficult when you have your arms around me. So they was like, oh, they were mistaking some romantic moments here. And Pongo and Purdy, they're having a blast. They're
and then marriage.
Well, no, this part was hilarious because these two people just met each other. And then after like a quick interaction, they decide to get married, like, within, like, the first couple minutes of sitting down. Well, this is basically how it went. So Jeff Daniels goes, would you like another cup of marriage? I mean, tea. Of course. I'd like, which one? Tea. I thought you said marriage. Oh, no. I meant tea. Oh, I do. You do?
Boom, marriage.
Boom, marriage. But that's how it went.
No, I know.
That's exactly how
I don't
went.
Even remember the words. That's why I was like, I don't know what he wants me to
well,
say.
I was,
but
like, I was just paraphrasing. That's basically
no,
how it
but
went.
That's literally, yeah. It was one
he
scene.
He made a Freudian slip, and that led to their marriage.
It was like one scene.
Who gets a cup of nothing? Marriage?
They should have been holding a cup at the chapel.
I wonder if it was a glass half full or half empty.
Or a glass slipper. Oh, wait, wrong Disney movie.
But still Disney, so you're
cup
good.
Of marriage. Well, that's the thing. He's like, she's like, I do. I'm like, are you saying I do to the tea or the marriage?
Yeah.
You got to specify.
Is the dogs officiating?
Well, no, because the dogs, they kind of piggybacked to a double wedding ceremony.
Yeah.
Because as the priest is marrying Roger and Anita, Pogo and Perdita are using that opportunity to metaphorically tying the knot as well. And apparently invited all the dogs in the neighborhood because they were all just standing outside.
It was crazy.
The church.
And they're all like, woof, woof, woof. And then, I don't know.
That makes me think of, did you guys ever watch Punky Brewster back in the day?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when, what was the dog's name of that?
Brandon.
Brandon.
Remember they had Brandon's wedding? Punky, like, had Brandon's wedding?
No,
and all the
no.
other dogs in the neighborhood? Oh, yeah. It was in the backyard.
Are you sure you weren't just watching 101 Dalmatians?
In the fridge where Cherry got trapped in, but luckily Punky knew CPR because she learned it the day before from Milo.
I don't remember any
of this. TK Carter.
These I'll check out. Things that will be covered on our sister podcast, Talking Punky.
That doesn't exist. I don't think I could do that, except I guess if we just watched all of, what the hell's the guy's name? George
Warnemont?
Warnemont.
Henry Warnemont.
No.
George Gaines.
Gaines.
George
yeah.
Gaines.
Yeah, yeah.
He played Henry Warnemont.
Oh, hello.
Yes.
I have a photography store.
I've only seen him in my Police Academy.
My photography store burned down. Now I'm so sad.
Earlier we were talking about the music. And
oh, yeah,
I did just take a moment to look up the composer.
Home Alone.
It's actually someone that I met in real life.
Really?
What?
It's Michael Kamen.
Michael Kamen.
I don't think that's how he talks.
I met him once at the Disney Institute.
I think that's far from where he talks.
Oh, really?
There was a hotel where you could take classes back in the day.
Was he doing themes of Disney?
So
he was going to teach a course there, and my mom happened to mention that my sister and I really loved music,
yeah.
And so he wanted to talk to us about, you know, stuff that we'd be interested in for a course at the Disney Institute. So we sat down
with
him.
Oh, that's cool.
And then after we parted ways, he ended up sending us a few CDs of some of his scores, including Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Oh, nice.
Don Juan DeMarco.
What?
And Mr. Holland's
Opus.
So
does he know Bryan Adams? Is there a Bryan Adams connection?
Well, he also did The Three Musketeers. So he probably did know.
Well, Bryan Adams did both of those, yes.
He did the score for Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
Die Hard.
What?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
He also did.
That means he's met Reginald Bell Johnson.
Lethal Weapon 2. The Last Boy Scout.
Get over here, Chicken Little.
Last Action Hero.
What?
Circle of Friends.
What is that?
That's the first movie Minnie Driver was in.
I don't
know. Like,
who's Minnie Driver?
Oh, yeah. Boarding School.
Jack.
Jack with Robin Williams?
Yep. Inventing the Abbots, Event Horizon.
I don't know who that is.
Oh my god!
Oh wait, Jennifer
that
Connelly.
Movie is disturbing.
I know who that is. Oh, Event Horizon with the
that
Sam,
movie is disturbing.
What's his name?
Sam Neill and Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh my god!
That is the most disturbing movie.
I
I've
watched
seen.
It in the theater.
Oh, I did too.
Oh my god!
And I freaked out. I have not watched
that
since.
That
you.
Might be a good one for us to cover at some point.
I don't
want
to.
I know. I don't want to
watch
it.
I don't
want
to watch it again.
To.
But I feel like we
I
might
literally,
have to.
Oh I literally,
and also,
it's
also in his credits,
up. What?
X-Men.
Oh,
oh
really?
Cool.
Excellent.
No, it's popped up on TV, and I'm like, I refuse to watch this
well,
movie.
Well, it's probably
I will
edited
turn it
on TV.
No. Yeah. I mean, oh, whatever, like HBO or something. Like, it's popped up, and I'm like, no.
I don't know. We're
absolutely not.
That.
I saw it in the theater, and I was like, this is ridiculous. Because it was right after, like, Starship Troopers and, like, stuff like that. So I'm like, oh, outer space, it's cool, whatever, it's a thriller. Huh?
It is not.
And I was like,
it
has Alan Grant.
Yep. Alan Grant and
exactly.
Lawrence Fishburne, you know? And so when we do our mini episode, should we use you to connect to 6 degrees?
Yes.
Brian Higgins to Brian Adams.
Yes.
In one move. What's this guy's name? I forget his name
Michael
already.
Kamen.
Michael Kamen.
He unfortunately passed away.
Aww.
In 2003, I believe.
Oh, wow. So. That was a long time ago.
So now this is a great part where we meet, basically, just talking about the John Hughes-esque, the two bumbling henchmen. They're almost like the two, like the Daniel
Stern. They're Harry and Marv.
Yeah, they're Harry and Marv here. But it was funny because I hadn't seen this movie, and it was like, this is Dr. House and Mr. Weasley, right?
Yes.
We got Hugh Laurie and Mark Williams. Mark Williams also, as I watch him on British Mystery Show, where he played Father Brown as well. So it's like Dr. House and Father Brown or Dr. House and Mr. Weasley. So it's like, but it was really cool. So yeah, let's take a look. Their characters' names are Horace and Jasper, or Jasper and Horace. So let's take a listen to them to kind of get to meet them as well.
I'll look to you a bit about this bloke's skin before we meet him. Now, supposedly, when he was quite young, this dog tore open his throat and ripped out his vocal cords, leaving him brutally scarred and completely mute. He cannot talk at all. Now, pay attention. Look at me. Pay attention. This is very important. There are two things you must not do with Skinner. Right? One, do not look at the horrendous scar on his neck. Two, don't talk to him. Understand? Not a word. Right. Oh! Look at the size of that scar! No bloody wonder you can't talk, mate! Excuse me just a minute, would you?
I always love like a good joke where they say, don't you mention this about this to some abnormality, and then when they open the door they just blurt it out.
That's, molly, molly, molly,
yeah,
molly,
exactly.
Molly.
The other thing I just have to mention is like Hugh Laurie, first of all, I have a short list of British actors that flawlessly pull off an American accent because, you know, in House, the entire series, Hugh Laurie has probably the best American accent of any British actor I've ever seen.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the fact that in this movie, too, he can do different styles of his own British accent, too.
Like, yes.
If you've seen other projects he's done, like he can do like a more Cockney British, or he can do like a more upper class.
Right.
Or in this, he seems like more like a street thug type
yes.
of guy.
Yeah.
He's just able to shift it a bit more. He's
amazing.
Versatile.
He's very versatile.
That's a good word, Brian. You get a star for the night.
There you go.
Congratulations.
In the form of peanut M&Ms.
Ooh. I think there's more.
Or Skittles or Snickers.
Yeah, it's true.
Or
a box of candy.
Or
right,
I think I have beer and brought whatever it is, Lay's.
Those are
the
awful.
Chips.
They're still up there.
I like those.
You want
them?
But
I did get some caramel Sweetos.
Oh, I had those. Those were good.
I haven't tried them yet.
Oh, the Cheetos, but they're like dessert Cheetos.
I was going to bring them, but I forgot them.
How do you have dessert Cheetos?
Flaming Hot Jalapeno Cheetos.
That sounds good.
And Flaming Hot Funyuns.
That sounds amazing.
It was a variety pack. Okay.
I'm going to have M&Ms.
Hooray!
But they were talking 101 about
this guy. Of them.
So Jasper and Horace were talking about this guy Skinner, who is apparently the guy that does Cruella's dirty work. He just
skins
the animals, yeah. And he can't talk because of that dog bite to his neck. So we see Cruella, and she notices Anita's wedding announcement in the paper. So she's all upset about this. Horace and Jasper show up, and they have a present for Mr. Skinner. And our suspicions are confirmed that they have the skinned white tiger, like the hide of it. So that was the delivery for Mr. Skinner.
I'm glad that mystery was solved.
Yeah, exactly. It was racking our brains.
I didn't know who had
that. It was only a mystery that Dr. House or Father Brown could solve.
Oh, that's true.
So Cruella puts it on, and another kind of a like allusion nod to another Disney movie. She puts it on, and she goes, "Mirror, mirror on the wall.
Snow White."
You get another gold star.
I won.
You get regular M&Ms this time.
Congratulations.
Oh, nice.
And so back kind of the evolution of Roger and India's marriage and relationship is they're saying that they're not yet ready for children themselves. But Pongo, he knocked up Perdita there, probably doggy style.
Oh.
And she's pregnant with babies, so
we just got the explicit rating.
Joan Plowright says, first the puppies and then the babies. Now, Joan Plowright, who plays the nanny, she's pretty much the...
First off.
She's
first
the nanny, and she's a nanny in like every single
hold
movie.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Plowright. You got yeah, you got the explicit rating with doggy style.
And then there's Joan Plowright.
Yeah. All right, fine.
But she always plays a nanny. And I'm trying to think of that other movie. I remember a movie she's trying to make a kid fall asleep, and she goes, blinking, linking, and oh,
winking, blinking, and nod.
That's it. You got it. And maybe it is, she was in Dennis the Menace. She plays Mr. Wilson's wife.
Yeah, she was in Curious George as the voice of Mrs. Plushbottom.
Mrs. Plushbottom. That's what
right
I'm thinking
Plushbottom.
Of.
Plow right as Plushbottom.
I think I'm definitely thinking of Dennis the Menace.
This is getting
weird. Oh, she played
weird.
A teacher in The Last Action Hero. That's kind of like a nanny.
No, well, I guess so. All right, I'll give it to you.
But I was thinking of Dennis the Menace. That's the one I was thinking of. So anyways, like, she's all prepared. She's helping out with the puppies. She has this weird, like, intuition where she's describing, like, the glow and the look in Perdita's eyes when she knows she's pregnant and there's babies on the way. And they show Anita, and she has the same look in her eye, and we can tell that she's pregnant as well. She's like the baby whisperer, the nanny. She just knows when the babies are coming. So we got.
Why
puppies.
Do they have a nanny?
Yeah, this is one of the things.
That's a good question.
They didn't need.
That's
like,
a good question.
Why?
I feel like in England they were like treating nanny and housekeeper like the same. Like she kept up the house.
All right. I'll give you that. All right, that's fine.
That's my only guess.
Roger is a video game developer who is working on one game. Like he doesn't. They don't need a housekeeper. He can just do this.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. And plus, where do
Lazy.
They get the money? They're very poor at this point. Like they don't have the money to employ a nanny.
Well, that's one of the things. Like, why is she, first off, why is she there? Secondly, she seems like a great nanny. So, like, she's going to pay. That's going to be a high-paying job.
Maybe this color nanny, like on the Muppet Babies, like, hi, nanny.
Yeah, yes. That is
waka,
exactly.
Waka, waka.
I think she should move to San Francisco.
Maybe.
And find Sally Field.
Oh.
Because I hear she needs a nanny.
Not Sally Jesse Raphael.
No. She just needs new glasses.
That's a throwback. Okay.
Hey, this is a throwback
that's
podcast.
True. So instantly, this is another creepy thing, is that like Cruella just storms into the house being like, where's the puppies? Where? It's like, what? She's too into the puppies. Like, she's not even subtle about
it. It's like I'll be wearing your dog.
Yeah.
Woof, woof.
Like, but she comes in with the guys that she hates that Anita's taken leave because of the marriage and the puppies. You know, because when you have puppies coming, you take maternity leave.
Well, I
of
wonder.
Of course.
I wonder if she was making a fortune on Julie Richardson's, like, designs. And
I think that was a ruse. Like, I think she was buttering him up about how good her design. I mean, her designs were good. I don't know how the sales were, but I think she was using it as a misdirect.
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe. And they tell her that Anita's pregnant, where she gets, like, appalled, but then they said, puppies are on the way. And she's like, oh, puppies, though. He's like, I love puppies. I hate babies, but I love puppies. This is obviously. You gotta trust when the dogs know, because Pongo and Perdita do not like Cruella, so they know. Why don't they just listen to their dogs? I mean, that's one of the over...
Because the dogs don't have dialogue.
That's true. But I think one of the overarching themes here is, like, the owners, they just don't pay attention to their dogs.
Parents just don't understand.
Thank you, Will Smith.
Who, by the way, is apparently going to be in a Disney live-action remake.
Yes, he could be the genie.
Playing the genie.
Oh, of the Aladdin remake?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know how I feel about it.
No, he doesn't
like,
have the range.
It's a crazy role. I mean,
well,
Robin Williams.
It's a crazy role. I'm sorry. If
20,
I,
year,
I have
20
to throw
years
out
ago.
Here that I do not want anyone playing that part.
I know.
If they do, we got to get like a Jim Carrey.
Man. Well, I think that's too much. I think it's too much. I think if you look at Will Smith 20 years ago, he could have done it. Now, the problem
he
is a lot
a
of
range.
Stuff.
He plays one guy, though. Like, yes, that guy's goofy and funny, but he can't do multiple characters.
He has
what
range.
About,
didn't
what
you
about
see that
After
episode?
Earth?
Didn't you see that episode where it's like, why doesn't he want me?
A Fresh Prince?
Yeah, where he's sad because his dad doesn't want him.
His dad played by Ben Vereen.
Yeah, his Ben Vereen dad, who's too cool for school, is just like, no, peace out, you stay here. And
he is a trucker.
And then he's just, and Will Smith's like, why does he want me? Why does he want me?
But that's
and Uncle
when
Phil gives
Uncle
him a
Phil
hug.
Gives him a hug.
And he's like, I'm also the Shredder.
Continuing on. So
anyway, 101 Dalmatians.
Very good. So let's hear a couple of clips about the anticipation about
the puppies
coming.
The puppies.
How many?
Woof, woof.
How many are coming out?
That's 40.
Why is it Mrs. Chip here?
They're here. The puppies are here.
Your father, Pongo.
Two.
Two. Your father twice.
So this is also super sad, too, because she comes out and she says, 15, and then she says, 14, we lost one.
Which is in the original
Is in the original, yeah. Okay. Again, super dark.
It is.
Yeah. But they bring out this, like, little runt puppy, and Roger holds it, and Pongo comes over, and he sniffs it and rubs it and licks it, and then it comes. It's alive.
And Roger does like a special little massage. Yeah,
Mr. Miyagi massage.
Because I'm like, hey, Jeff Daniels, while you're being unemployed with your quote unquote video game career, are you learning like how to revive dogs?
Yep. Yep.
Like, is this something they teach in England to expatriates?
It should have been named Ghost.
Oh, my dog, my puppy. I'll rub your neck back to life.
And
are you still dead? No, you're not.
Your name's Lucky.
A puppy.
I'm
transport
at a loss for
words.
So
yeah, the dog comes back
Dalmatians
to life.
Dalmatians have spots.
And they name him Lucky.
Yeah.
He's lucky number 15.
Lucky number 15. Lucky number 11.
So Pongo licks Perdita for a job well done, and she's all tired, and he rests on her. They're so cute together, those two.
15 kids? She's tired? Of course she is.
So lightning strikes.
Lightning McQueen?
No,
it's
different
not
movie.
Different Disney movie.
Different Disney movie. Cruella comes barging in.
Give me those puppies.
Give me the puppies.
And she's like, they have no spots.
Mongrels.
No spots. And they're like, the spots develop later. And you can tell when she's walking in why the hell she's there. They play it out so far, like, why is she there? They're really, like, giving into her whims when they know why the hell she's there.
She right. wants to kill their dogs.
She wants to kill the dogs. And they almost give in because they're like, well, $7,500, that would be, was it dollars, or was it euros?
It was probably
euros?
Pounds.
Pounds. Roger says they're not for sale, even though he needs the money. And then, like, Anita's still on the fence, but then, like, Cruella just starts yelling at them.
First off, why would you even think about it? I mean, you know she wears skin. Like,
she knows
why
she's
would
gonna
you
do something creepy with these puppies?
All she does
you know?
Is wear fur.
Right.
Yeah. Why would
she
you
kill
even
the tiger?
Like, okay, yeah, I'll give you this child of my beloved puppy.
She's wearing a Harambe suit with a Cecil the Lion.
Oh my God.
This podcast
that,
is getting dark.
And that rhino that was killed last month.
Guys, this is the best note I've probably ever written.
Oh.
So.
Can you read it?
As you recall, briefly. So as you recall, it was lightning out when she came in. It was raining. So she yells at them to take the money, and Anita says, no, they won't. And then Cruella storms out.
Boo.
God. That was the
I
best
I enjoyed
note.
My note there.
How did your wife feel about the note?
She did not watch this movie. Next scene, the puppies are watching the Aristocats. Which
yep.
is another Disney movie.
It is.
But they did not enjoy it. Cause they
so they switch it to Homeward Bound.
They change it to Homeward, which does have a cat in it.
It does.
It's got two dogs, but a cat as well.
Or one of the dogs is Michael J. Fox.
And the other
and
is
it's
Donna
a,
Michi.
It's a callback
correct.
To my discussion
and
earlier.
The cat is Sally Fields.
I didn't remember.
So Joan Plowright could have been her nanny.
Oh, yes. Lincoln, blinking a nod. So it's Christmas time. We fast forward ahead, and then this is the kind of the we don't get to hear the names of all 15 dogs, but you get to hear quite a few of them who have distinguishing characteristics.
I think
so.
Before you play this,
yeah,
I think they should have named everyone George.
George
for George Foreman.
Yes. Well, maybe the remainder ones
and
were.
Like Georgina. What did he named all of his
Georgina,
kids George?
Yeah.
Right?
Or George? Yeah.
It was like a George 3.
But some of them had a little more. characteristics to him. So let's meet some of the puppies.
Sure. Look. I put this on you.
Dipstick.
Come on. Fidget.
Two-tone. Whizzer.
Yeah, so we meet Jewel, Dipstick, Fidget, Two-Tone, and Whizzer. And then we knew a Lucky. So we get the names of 6 out of the 15.
And Dipstick was funny. Because I was like, why would you call him Dipstick? And then they show the tail, it's just all black.
I like Whizzer.
I thought he was just being a bully.
The end of the tail was black. It was cute.
And well, that's one of the things, if I don't mention this enough, these puppies are adorable. They are just utterly...
Besides
cute.
The puppies being adorable, I mean, let's get it. The entire movie, and we'll get into it in the future of this movie.
When you see more animals.
Is amazing for training.
Well, because a lot
these
of
these dogs
there
are
some scenes
phenomenal.
Where they CGI them, but for the most part, they're all real
they're
animals.
Dogs, and they're puppies. I mean, some of these puppies are doing what they need them to do. I mean, maybe they just got lucky, but... They're doing what they need them to do.
They did get lucky.
And
Dipstick and Whizzer.
Because isn't one of like the well-known facts is like Dalmatians are notoriously hard to train?
Yeah, but
like,
I think they're very good. They're very good. They're very smart.
They're very smart. That's true. Yeah.
I mean, that's why they're firefighting dogs.
Roger and Anita go for a walk with Purdy and Pongo. And while they're out, they're, you know, down at the park. Jasper and Horace break in. And Nanny tries to fight them off a little bit, but she gets put in the closet. And this is where they take the...
Nanny in the closet.
They do. Dr. House does.
Brian said it first.
And they take the puppies, and as they're leaving, this bulldog that this, like, very hoity-toity British man is walking, the bulldog sees them and starts barking, and this is kind of
like...
Very
growly.
They get into, like you said, we don't hear their words, but they have a universal, like... Animal language,
dog
that
language,
because the puppies are like talking to the bulldog from the back of the truck and telling them what's going on, and so like the bulldog starts barking, and then you kind of get this like telephone effect, like he yells to he barks to two dogs and he barks to two dogs and so on, and eventually gets to Pongo and Purdy in the park, and then they take off because they're like. They got the word that their puppies are in trouble.
In the animated one, there was the thing called the Twilight Bark.
Oh.
Which
is based off of Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson.
Which Pongo and Purdy use to like spread the news that the dogs were abducted, and then like everyone, as they continue on, is notified. And it gets to...
it's like they're all points bulleted.
Yeah, it gets to the Colonel and Sergeant Tibbs, the cat.
Wait, which was the Colonel? Like the chicken guy?
He's the old sheepdog.
Oh, the old sheepdog. He's called the Colonel.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
He was great in this one.
Well, the brown dog. We'll get into that. But
the brown dog.
The brown. But guys, I mean, I had never seen this version before, but when Purdy and Pongo go back to their like little bed area in the kitchen and the dogs are gone, the puppies are gone, and they sit down and they're all sad. I got super sad. Like,
It was very. I may have teared up a little bit.
She sits down and he comes over and he puts her head on her, and I was like,
the children, yes.
So the henchmen tell Cruella that they got the dogs, and to add the 15 that they kidnapped, the total is now 99. They have dog ledger.
So here's where when they did the 99, I added Pongo and. Perdita. And I was like, 101, yay!
Good job. Rick did the math.
I did it on the fly.
Wait, you didn't look at it and go, 99? Wait a minute.
I started actually singing 99 red
balloons. 99 black white doggies. They are peeing near the knees.
What?
Well, that's the hype.
There's
Whizzer and there's Lucky. Don't forget Pongo Purdy.
Yay! Much better than Mark's song.
While they're in transport, because now Jasper and Horace are bringing the puppies to, like, this other location, they signal that brown dog, and the brown dog starts to... Now, this brown dog, I kept writing down, every time he shows up, I was like, this dog is the hero of the movie. Now, I assume that you probably knew his name, Brian.
Brown Dog.
I don't know what his name was, but this guy was the man because he was the
awesome.
One that spots them. See something, say something, follow. He starts running.
He's amazing.
I just assumed he was supposed to be the colonel.
But
that's
they had
what
two,
I thought.
They had a sheepdog, and then they had this brown other.
I just thought
dog.
He was playing that role because. Yep, yeah. He was amazing. He saved the day.
They had an actual sheepdog.
I think he needed
a farm.
I think he needed a cape. He was Superman.
Maybe he was Crypto, Superman's dog.
Oh.
Shared universe. So the police come, and they are not helpful whatsoever. I almost imagine, Phil Collins from Hook just showing up again, well, the dogs.
Oh, so this is going back to
Studio.
Glenn Close is the boo box man in Hook.
Shared universe. Shared universe! But then this is where their, I guess as you said, Brian, their Twilight speak or their call.
The Twilight Bark.
It opens up because as Pongo goes out to the balcony and starts barking, he's telling the whole community about what's happening. You get more animals that start getting involved. Horses, pigs, sheep, bunnies, cats. They all get in there. And this is when you start to get, and Rick and I kind of mentioned this a little bit. Again, the animals and the animal work in this is amazing.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing.
Except for the raccoons, which are
they're
like
so fake. The raccoons.
But at least they don't have subtitles.
They don't have
subtitles.
Well, who knows what their
you know
font
what? This movie would have been better with John Candy, though. Just somewhere in this
what
movie.
Role?
Mr. Weasley's role.
John Candy can't be a bad guy, though.
In this, they're not really bad guys. They're just kind of clumsy evildoers.
He'd have to be the guy who's the clarinet player that gives Pongo a ride.
Yeah, there we go.
He just
that's
plays
perfect.
The same role. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, that's. Yeah, he shows
John
up.
John Hughes.
It's recurring John Hughes role.
Shared universe.
Exactly. Those
hey,
are two
Pongo.
Pillows.
Pongo, you need a ride? It would be awesome if he actually did show up in that, dog catcher truck or whatever and be like, Pongo, you need a ride, and then just.
And, but then
save
he's like,
the
"You
day.
Need a ride," and then he's like, "Let's go catch some dogs,
yep,
and return them to their owners."
Oh, he's very helpful.
Yeah, he'd be like a good dog catcher.
Yeah,
which gives a reason for why the kid's like, "Ought a dog catcher to be the villain in a game?"
Brian,
because then
that's
we have
the
a
best
good
Italian
one.
Accent
oh, thank you.
So the brown dog actually makes it to the estate.
See, this right here is why I was like, I want them to talk because
I don't
know
what brown dog's name was.
Because we just have to call him brown dog.
Every time he showed up, I wrote, he's the hero of the movie. He's the hero. This dog is like a do-gooder, good citizen.
Underdog.
You should write a children's book. Instead of brown bear, call it brown dog,
caught in a bog.
He doesn't
by
know
the
how
$5
to get in,
bin podcast.
He doesn't know how to get in the house and a mouse tells him the secret door.
This is where the movie just starts getting ridiculous.
It started getting,
is where it starts getting ridiculous.
It started getting into the crazy, human can talk to animals thing, and it's like...
What is it, boy?
Everyone...
Timmy's trapped in a well.
Follow me. The animals will save us.
Yes. When he gets in there, the 15 puppies come out. They all have the collars, but then all the other ones come out as well, so you get the 99 Dalmatians.
99 Dalmatian dogs. They collect 80s pugs.
Yep, they collect
hey,
80s
Wooly.
Pugs.
Yeah.
Hey! Ah,
it's Elf.
Don't do drugs.
In pog form. Cruella wants the job done that night. She wants the puppies killed. And the police come around the corner. And Rick, who warns the animals that Cruella's coming?
Brown dog.
The crow.
I didn't even see
Brandon Lee shows up.
The Brandon Lee as the
what?
Crow. Yep.
Not Jason Scott Lee.
No. They're not actually related.
He is off being Mowgli.
It takes until this point in the movie that the puppies are gone and Anita and Roger are like, we know who did this. Like, oh my God. Like, it took them a while to catch up to what's going on. Anita goes and she kind of consults her portfolio and she realizes that the idea for this puppy outfit was her idea. Perdita and Pongo get to an electric fence and a bird tells them
and
how to get around
it. And they do not whiz on it.
They don't whiz on it because a bird tells them how to get around it. The shaggy dog, which is the colonel, right?
Maybe. Correct? It's hard to say.
And a squirrel and a raccoon, they're in Jasper and Horace's car, and they're, like, messing around with the wires and stuff like that. And that causes it to go off, and there's a knock at the door, and they go to answer it, but there's no one there because it was a woodpecker, like, hiding against the door.
This is where I started to tune out of the movie a little.
Oh, really?
Because
there's no dialogue.
There's no dialogue. And
it's just animals running around because, like, the brown dog leads them out.
I mean, it's animals being Kevin McAllister.
Yep, yep.
And it's just...
It's like that movie, what is it, Furry Vengeance?
I didn't see that. But like, I was watching it on an airplane.
It's the movie where the animals, like, attack Brandon Fraser. He works for this company that's encroaching upon, like, an environmental protected area. So, like, the squirrels and the beavers, they just, like, mess with them.
Wasn't
the whole
that
movie.
A Dr. Doolittle thing?
No, Dr. Doolittle helped the animals.
No, like,
this is, like, evil Dr. Doolittle.
Oh. In the Oregon wilderness, a real estate developer's new housing subdivision faces a unique group of protesters. Local woodland creatures
but
who,
like,
don't
a...
want their homes disturbed.
Literally, it was, like, the thing of Dr. Doolittle 2 or 3... Where his daughter,
I didn't get that far.
His daughter was,
she becomes the Doolittle.
No, like she.
You
could,
are now the Doolittle.
What was her name? Raven, right? Wasn't it Raven?
No, it was the other daughter. The younger one takes over. Because Raven Simone didn't show up in the other ones either. She was the older daughter.
I thought she showed up in one and she could speak to animals too.
No,
and
that's
she stopped,
the younger daughter.
But I thought it was Raven.
I don't think so. This is not an argument worth having.
No.
But a discussion worth having. Furry Vengeance. Who do you think the female lead is?
Oh, who was that? I want to say Jennifer Garner.
Nope, Brooke Shields.
Brooke Shields, okay.
Way off.
Also includes Jim Norton.
The comedian?
Yep.
Wow.
Billy Bush, Access Hollywood, and from riding a bus with Trump.
Yes. Like we said before, so one of the points that, for the most part, you get the animals, but when it became like super CG... is when the brown dog dropped them down the construction chute.
Yeah.
They were kind of like just surfing. This is when it totally becomes Home Alone. I wrote Home Alone Puppies because you have Jasper, a.k.a. Dr. House, falls to the floor onto like a pool table. A mounted bull on the wall almost like impales him in the junk.
Same. Where even the dead animals are trying to kill them.
Yeah, exactly. And like the same thing, like when Cruella shows up, they stick like a skunk in her car. Which is, will that come into play later? I don't know. Horace had fell down the chute and he gets like stuck in ice and freezes. But then like 2 seconds later, he's unfrozen. So that didn't really carry over. Again, it's just like cartoon physics going on
here.
And they also like mess with the truck where it wouldn't start until Horace stuck his face in the tailpipe. And then like it finally backfired into his face. So yeah, this is the total Home Alone
100%. 100%.
And so Cruella's like chasing. She finally catches up. She gets to the farm and all the puppies are hanging. They're kind of like hiding with the sheep. That's where the colonel comes into play because he's the sheepdog. And Lucky is still at this estate of Jasper and Horace. He's kind of hiding in the corner. And Skinner finally shows up and all the puppies are gone. He's the last one there. And again, he's about to attack Lucky when this brown dog comes to save the day, bites him in the butt. So BB all the way. I'm on team BB.
BB?
BB.
Brown dog.
Brown bog?
BD Wong as the brown dog. Horace and Jasper continue in the car. And again, since Horace was frozen, he wants to turn on the heat and he turns it up and the car catches on fire because that squirrel was like gnawing on the wires.
The car catches on fire because Home Alone.
Yeah, because of
Yes, exactly.
Home Alone. Right.
There's no way for the car to catch on fire, yet it does.
Right. Meanwhile, the police have been like rummaging through Cruella's house and they find the white tiger pelt. So they know what she's been up to this whole time. And the crow tells Pongo and Perdita to go to the barn, and then when they finally go there, all the puppies were kind of like hiding in the hay, and they finally reunite. Notice, I mean, I don't know how much Dalmatians can emote, but they were obviously happy to see their 15 kids, but they didn't show any kind of surprise for these several more puppies that just came out of the woodwork. They were just kind of like, okay, embrace all these puppies.
Yes.
Like, where'd they come from?
We'll take them all.
We'll take them all. So Cruella eventually does make it up to the farm. She reaches up to them, and the crow flies down. Well, he warns everyone first, and he tells the puppies to hide in the hay, and then he flies down and he steals her hat.
Ha ha.
That was great. And Cruella looks through the door, and again, another, like, defense mechanism of the animals protecting everyone is the horse flat out, like, kicks the door, kicks Cruella, and she goes flying. Now, the bunnies and the raccoons are making false tracks where they're leading Horace and Jasper towards an electric fence. So we're like, okay, this is going to be another Home Alone moment coming up. Cruella sees the hay moving, like these different hay piles, and she goes to one, she starts stabbing with a pitchfork, and then she starts pulling on it, and the hay pile falls, and she actually grabbed this tail that she saw, and it was just this super fat pig that falls on top of her, so... Again, everyone's in for the Home Alone style. Everyone's game.
See, with this, like, they're just doubling down on the Home Alone action.
Yeah.
And they're making it all about, like in the movie, it's more like them getting back and them having to, the original movie, them having to elude Cruella. Like, yeah. They cover themselves in soot. So
oh, yeah, I remember that part.
Yeah,
right.
Like,
yeah.
Like, it's more clever to me.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Versus, and now nature fights back against a poacher.
Now, in that original animated one, did they have these different animals that were helping them? I don't remember.
I mean, there's a few, but
yeah,
like, it's primarily
all over the place.
It's
helping,
primarily
but...
the Colonel and Sergeant Tibbs.
Right.
And Sergeant
there,
Tibbs
I remember
is
there
a cat.
Were a few, right. Oh, yes.
But I assume they just couldn't get a cat and a dog to work together, so they're like, we'll have a sheepdog, and
cats are harder
we'll
to
have
train.
A brown dog.
Right.
The more I think about it, Brown Dog is probably supposed to be Sergeant Tibbs.
Yeah, but they had a specific Shaggy Dog and the Brown Dog, so they did split it up somehow.
So, like, Brown, but Brown Dog is supposed to be the cat.
And another thing we had mentioned, so, again, most of the movie, the animals look great, except he had this sequence with the raccoons with the hat, where one was wearing the hat, and they were cackling, and then it leads Cruella to fall into, like, a random vat of molasses that is in the... I don't know why this vat
and
of molasses
is
in the barn.
It's a very well-labeled vat of molasses,
it is.
Too.
I did not believe you...
Because I wasn't sure what it was.
Until the sign came out, I was like, it is a vat
but
of molasses.
But the raccoons also high-fived each other, too.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
Is like,
oh, yeah. There was like...
It was very strange.
There was knucks given. They were like, what up?
And so the cops eventually arrest Horace and Jasper. And this scene was kind of funny because they're actually, at this point, they've been through the ringer. It's almost to the point where, like, we give up. And they're very happy to go into a police van. So let's take a listen to their alleviation and relief that happens from that.
Thank the Lord.
We're safe.
So that was that guy Skinner. So Skinner was in the van, who they were very afraid of, because he's just a creepy dude. Now,
because he wants to skin them.
Yes. Very apropos name. Now, when Cruella eventually got out of the vat of molasses, didn't like a horse step on a plank and there was like kind of catapulted her through the air? And then
yes,
she landed
very
into,
believable.
Like, right into manure, right? Was it manure?
I don't
or
know
mud?
If it was a maneuver. It could be
maneuver.
She was maneuvering.
She was
the
manure maneuver.
Into the maneuver.
I think it was just mud, but I don't know. I guess manure could be good.
And then, and this goes to your point, Brian, she stands up and she gives this scene-chewing speech of, like, how she's going to get back at the animals. And I was like, this is, like, a little much, you know? But immediately after she gives the speech, the cops show up and they arrest her, so.
And she's like, what for, officer?
What did I do? And that's when she kind of got through into the van, and this is finally, because the skunk was pretending to be her hat.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was
her
hat
or
like
her
in her bag. Yeah.
It sprays all of them, so he got them. But that's going to be stuck in the van with them.
But if you were the cop, don't you think that thing would have started leaking through like the front? Like
yeah,
through that window?
I don't think he cared.
That's a terrible smell. I'm going to guess he probably cared a little bit.
Maybe. So all the Dalmatians come over the hill. And the people are helping to carry them and put them in different cars and
the puppies!
The puppies! And they count an even 100. And I just, you know, on this podcast, I always got to play a clip where they say the title of the movie, which is what happens when they're counting up how many they've collected.
I come up with 98 pots. The two adults make it 100 even. We've got 100 here, sir. That's 101 Dalmatians, sir.
So that was the brown dog and Lucky coming around the corner to make 100. That's the name of this movie. 101 Dalmatians, sir.
No, they had 100. Then they made 101.
Yes.
Well, why were they counting Pongo and Perdita?
Because they're Dalmatians.
Okay. But they weren't missing.
They were missing a little bit. They ran off.
I guess so.
I was scared for their lives.
I kind of jumped ahead a little bit, but...
That's fine. End of movie.
Before the skunk sprays in the van, I think this was one of my favorite lines in the movie, is when Cruella goes, "You're all idiots in the moron Olympics, and you've won the gold, silver, and bronze." And then Horace goes, "Beat, which one got gold?" Like, that line was
funny.
That was
funny. A good line.
That was the one part my wife walked in, and she laughed at that
I
part.
I thought
that was a good line.
I may have chuckled.
No, that was a good one.
You may have chuckled if you had seen it.
If you had seen it.
No, Mark was here. Did I chuckle?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. It was like an hour ago.
So they return home.
I can't remember that far back.
Yeah. They return home, and the cops mentioned that their pups were the only ones that had the ID tags on them. So that was the purpose.
But, and then the rest of them are no one else
claimed them.
No one else claimed them.
No one else.
Now
were
here's
like,
the thing.
I lost a dog.
Well, no. Here's the thing. In the beginning of when the dogs were lost, the list had one name, like 10 of them, right? It was like Smith, 15 puppies.
Right. They took them from somewhere.
But like,
but
no,
none of those people
one name.
Them.
Held like 10 puppies, 12 puppies, 8 puppies,
15.
12 puppies. What are you like? Oh, thank God I got rid of 12 puppies all at once.
I don't know.
In the original animated, because the dogs can talk, some of them were like, oh, yeah, we're from like a pet store or something, or she bought us.
But do they talk to the point where the humans can understand them?
No, but
like it's like a Stewie situation.
It's established within the world, like where they came from.
Okay, I got it.
But it's like, oh yeah,
so they actually didn't have owners.
No, like technically she's the legal owner of most of them.
Oh, really?
But I mean, since she's gonna
it's abuse.
Murder them, it makes sense to take them away.
See my vest.
See my vest made from real gorilla chest. Dicks out for Harambe.
Too soon?
So the other puppies, they need someplace to go or they're going to go to the pound. So Roger and Anita, they agree that they're going to take in all these puppies. And then all the puppies just run inside. They just run inside their, at the time, tiny little apartment. And very fast. Now, what do you guys say the timeline is? This is the part I was very interested about. The timeline of when Cruella gets arrested as to when... The newspaper comes out where she's the front page news about being arrested. I feel like it's like a couple hour difference. Like, did she just make the press print before?
Well, that big of a deal?
Well, she's like a major. Again, she's like the editor of like a Vogue type. She's a celebrity. But again, I feel like her arrest would not make the morning paper.
Here's what I thought. Would you like another cup of marriage? Boom, married. It was
Would
like
you
the
like
timeline.
Another cup of newspapers?
Yeah,
newspapers done.
Yeah, it was like the timeline gets a little skewed in these things.
Yeah,
gotcha. So the last scene in the movie, the kid, this British genius kid who plays video games,
Herbert.
He's playing the new games. Instead of Pongo, who is the main character, he's got two of the puppy Dalmatians, and they're going down a mine shaft. And all of a sudden, after some TNT explodes. Cruella jumps out, and he's like, "Good villain, governor." He's not Cockney, but...
Now, that's a villain.
Now, that's a proper villain.
I'm the kid from Heavyweights now.
And the guy's like, "Oh, well, good job. I'm going to sell you this video game," which I'm going to presume... The only reason why the next scene would make sense, I'm going to presume he sold this video game for $10 million. or plus, because the last scene of the movie, they're at this castle.
Yeah, they buy the Dalmatian plantation.
The Dalmatian plantation, and the castle actually has spots on it. And there's thousands of dogs. And very conveniently, they wrap up the movie with the following voiceover.
I can barely believe it. Our baby is a year old. We have a new house, a new life.
And we have each other.
We have Nanny.
And I have the three of you.
We have two wonderful dogs.
And they have their children.
And their stepchildren.
They have their children.
Their stepchildren have children.
And their children have children.
And speaking of children,
Roger, darling, I've got the most wonderful news.
So she's got another puppy on the way. But
it could be twins.
Yeah.
But my two comments were like, they have thousands of dogs. How do they feed all these dogs?
Kibble.
Kibble. I guess so. And then my other thing is, the three of them are there. Why are they giving exposition to themselves? Let's wrap up our story and talk about everything that's happened so far.
End
of movie.
End of movie. House. Now,
one question
Dalmatian
I have
house.
That's lingering.
Yes.
They made a sequel called 102 Dalmatians.
Which is also available on HBO Go.
What happened to the other Dalmatians? Now there's only 102. Is there like a plague?
It just means there's one more.
Yeah, but there's so many more at the end of the movie.
Well, it's not even the same people. Like,
it's still Jeff Daniels.
No, it's not Jeff Daniels.
No, at the end of the movie it is.
No, but in the second one I'm saying. It's not the same actors. It's not even the same characters.
I mean, there's still Cruella DeVille.
She's the only one that comes back.
I don't even understand why they would. Was this that big of a hit?
I think it was just that, like, you know, Disney made several sequels.
Was this like Disney's bad time?
This movie made $215.8 million at the box office.
Holy moly.
That seems high. Yeah. All right. I didn't see
it
at the box office.
This was the movie that John Hughes made the most money on in his career because his contract had a piece of the merchandising profits.
He did a Lucas.
Yeah.
Oh. Is that why he advertised the video game in this?
Probably.
Did that video game actually come out?
Yeah, I would.
It looked a lot like a Dragon's Quest.
Well, a lot of times when they showed the animation, it was very Aladdin-esque. When Aladdin used some of
it for the Sega Genesis,
it was very fun. No, the actual Aladdin movie, some of the animated scenes were computer generated. And so you could tell, and this reminded me of it, like where the dogs are animated and then the background is computer generated. Yeah. And it was like, this reminds me of Aladdin.
So, gentlemen, what did you think about the movie? For the most part, watching it for the first time.
It wasn't awful. I mean,
it was fine.
I
hadn't seen it. I mean, to be honest, I had super low expectations, but it was fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like...
Disney's gotten much better at the live-action remakes.
Yeah.
But it was a decent adaptation.
It was fine. Yeah. I still think they messed up by not keeping the dogs as the viewpoint characters.
Yeah.
Especially when you spend so much time with them. It felt off to me.
I don't remember the animated one, so I can't say too much, but...
But just imagine that narration at the end if it was from the dog instead of Jeff Daniels.
Well, so the one
because they also in the animated they refer to Roger and Anita as their pets. Like that's the perspective. Like, they're our pets.
Right.
Oh,
so like, and our pets now have a little one as well who's now 1 year old and there's another one on the way or something.
I would have liked it better.
The dogs are British too,
of course.
Oh.
Where's Hugh?
One's from America.
Where's Dr. House in all of this?
It's not lupus.
Oh.
It's never lupus. But I was going to say I could argue and agree with your point to the fact that you could say that you did get from some perspective from Pongo and Perdita, but I feel like you didn't get as much focus on the individual puppies as you did in the original animated one. So, like, the puppies kind of lost their...
Yeah.
They kind of lost their perspective, but you still got their parents a little bit. But probably not as much.
A little, but not as much.
Yeah. So, gentlemen, if 101 Dalmatians were to come out this live, I mean, we got these live adaptations coming up. Beauty and the Beast, Jungle of the Book. They're all the...
Jungle in the Book.
Jumanji. They're all the rage.
Yeah.
If 101 Dalmatians came out in suit, again, they did super marketing at the time, like you said, but what could be some other things that we could use to market this movie? I mean, would we sell another?
An app.
Oh, an app version of the game.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it could be like a iTunes thing.
What about a...
It could be an iTunes thing.
I mean, Pongo and Perdita met in the park, but we know how the millennials date nowadays.
Maybe
a version of Tinder for dogs.
You could also reference Spaceballs. Pongo's review of Rocky Five. Thousand. Pongo.
I like how you just brushed over my Tinder for dogs.
Get out of here. Yeah, how many more Dalmatians do you need in this world?
I'd call it
3,000.
Oh. Bob Barker's app for spay and neutering your pets.
Oh.
How about anything related to Cruella?
They are there is word that they want to do a Cruella de Vil movie.
Okay.
Starring Emma Stone.
So like
Maleficent
or whatever.
So let me ask you this to kind of maybe tie off the end of this episode, Brian. In the pantheon of Disney animated villains, where do you put Cruella?
Cruella as an animated villain does rank very high.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, she's very singular. She's well up there.
Okay.
But I would have to say, same, I mean, not knowing Disney movies as well as Brian, you think of Cruella de Vil, you know it's, like, evil.
Right.
Like, you think of it. So they've done their job in portraying and, you know, what did Herbert say?
Good job, mate.
No, it's like...
Let's go for a spot of tea and some spotted dick.
Good bad guy. Or whatever.
Good bad guy.
Good evil
proper
person. Proper villain.
Governor,
there you go.
Time for tea.
Yeah, but I mean, like, they've succeeded in creating this.
You look at the pantheon of Disney villains. You have
Ursula.
Ursula, the Wicked Queen in Snow White.
Scar.
Maleficent. She ranks up there near the top with all of them.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, absolutely. The brooms in Fantasia.
I would argue that the brooms are misunderstood.
And on that note, thanks, Cinemax, for listening to this episode of the $5 Bin Podcast. I'm Mark, and for Rick and Brian, just remember, you can always paint the grass green. Good night.
Goodbye.
Hey, guys, that was a great podcast episode. I mean, tea. I mean, marriage. I mean, not that I want you guys to marriage me. I mean, record a podcast with me. That's what I meant. Record a podcast.
The puppies. There's so many puppies.
Brian, how many puppies are there in your backpack?
15 puppies.
14 puppies.
Oh, this is typical Disney darkness.
Oh, 15 puppies.
15 puppies again. We're saved. Oh, wait. Not just puppies. There's bunnies.
Brown dogs.
Brown dogs.
We shall name him Brown Dog.
Who was the ad wizards who came up with that one?
Nanny's drunk.
Give me another hot toddy.
They don't pay me any money. They just give me booze.
I'll take it.
It's a hard life being a plowwright.
Euphemism.
Thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this 101st episode of the $5 Bin Podcast and our full movie reviews it of 101 Dalmatians. You can find us on the social interwebs. Tweet us at the number $5 Bin P. pod, like us on Facebook, or email us at thefivedollarbin.podcast@gmail.com. You can download all our episodes on iTunes, and when you do, why not leave a nice rating and review? Helps others to find the podcast as well. Why, thank ya! For information about Brian and my improv organization, Natick Improv, and upcoming workshops and performances, like our April 26th brewery gig, you can find us at natickimprov.com or like Natick Improv on Facebook. Well, that's it for this episode, Cinemaniacs. Until next time, hasta la vista, babies! The puppies! Oh, the puppies!